looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Light on Living. We are doing the interview series for Obstacles Equal Opportunities. Now, you've got to start believing this by now, because we've already had a few of the authors from this Volume 2, Obstacles Equal Opportunity, and you've got to be feeling it, right? Like, it's rolling up, and you're going, okay, let me look and see these circumstances. You know, is there, can they be opportunities? Well, today's guest that we're kicking this whole show off with is, well, first of all, hi, Todd, how are you?
I'm good. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there. It's Todd Boyum, and I'm going to spell everybody's name and get all the how to get a hold of you things. But why I love that you are kicking off today with us is because you really, in your chapter, wow, you really took the obstacle, but you got ahead of it. Like, you stood back and was able to look at it in a bigger, broader way, and you got a lot, you know what, you really turned some self-love into there. So I'm really appreciative of your joining us today for this.
I'm very excited to be here.
Ah, you know, there's something that you used. If you say increase and decrease, I'm jumping right into this, and I'm going to read you a little bio, but I have to ask you, you use the word increase and decrease, and where the
right.
I think those are interesting words. Why do you choose those words about changing things?
Well, you know, when you're in the middle of something, it actually is a thing I learned from the Bible. It's a statement that John the Baptist says that he needs to decrease so that Jesus can increase. And there's a time when we're doing things and we're leading things where it's really hard to let go of that. It's, you know, you get invested in it. And so when you're at the place where you need to hand it off to people, it's actually a challenge because they want to honor you. They don't want to, you know, take that away or whatever. And you still love it. So you still want to be in it. So you have to be conscious, and intentional about saying, hey, I need to get myself out of the way so that others can actually be raised up here. And so it's just a metaphor that I learned from that.
I love it, because I was trying to think of what is the thing that I use. So stop and start. A lot of people say you have to stop something and start something. You have to be in the giving. You have to be in the receiving. So, and I just love that non-emotional increase or decrease. They both sound great. So I had to ask it right off the bat. But let me share with everybody who Todd is, okay? And there you go. Well, other than, of course, a wonderful one of the co-authors in Obstacles Equal Opportunities, Volume 2. But Todd Boyum, and it's B-O-Y-U-M. Todd Boyum is the president of Reach. Yes, I had to make sure everybody knows what's called. You are the president of Reach Me Global. Reach Me Global. I love that. It's a coaching, training, and consulting firm located near Austin, Texas. He is a certified high-performance coach and founder of the Faith Performance Network. Todd discovered his faith in God and love of personal development at the same time, the start of his adult life and career. Together, these two continuous pursuits have guided him during his leadership in the Army, 30 years as a technology leader at Dell, and dozens of leadership roles in churches and volunteering with the Boy Scouts of America. Todd and his wife, Cheryl, have 8 grown children and 8 grandchildren. Ah, that's a lot of children.
It's a lot.
We'll find out exactly why there are so many children, but can we just sit there for just a second? It says, you discovered your faith in God and love of personal development at the same time. Let's go with that one. That's a fun one because they're kind of the same, but they're so different.
Yes. Yeah, it just really kind of came together for me that way. And so for me, to the point you're making, the two aspects of those are like one thing in my mind, and I believe they're one thing in reality, because because, you know, everything that works and creates success is based on the principles that exist in the world from God's creation. And so, but even as you learn about those two things, if you're following them both, you can't help but see the interplay between them. If you're looking at them as separate things, how they come together. And so that's kind of how it works for me. And I think it's just because I've been taking those two journeys the whole time together.
It was, and I see the connection now even more so. One of my favorite lines that you wrote in your chapter is, the real secret weapon through everything was that you had your own plan. And I think of, you know, when a lot of people say, well, God has a plan. You know, I trust, I have faith. But and I love the self-development part said, okay, myself, Todd, in your situation, I want to have my own plan. And I love that you use hiking and mountain climbing and things like that to kind of reveal to people, explain to people what life is like. So can you share with us, like, when you have your own plan and you're climbing mountains, how does that help you?
Oh, man, I'm so glad you asked that, because if there's anything I wanted to convey, I think this is it. You know, I think most of us, when we come to an obstacle, we get into a reactive mode. I mean, that's what happens, you know, like this thing happens and then we're reacting. But when you really know what you're about, when you're intentional about it, when you know who you are, when you know what you're trying to accomplish, just because a situation or circumstances creates an obstacle, you know, you still now know where you're going. You're not running from something or reacting to something. You're moving. And so, yes, you may have to make some adjustments, but you're just staying with your plan and making those adjustments. You're able to be proactive and intentional. And this is, I think this is what makes, like, some people seem lucky. Like Earl Nightingale used to say that luck is what happens when preparedness meets opportunity. And that's what it is. If you're prepared when you come to that obstacle, well, okay, you might have to, you know, make some adjustments, but you know what you're trying to accomplish. So
I can't believe you said that. That's okay. So I learned that. I love Earl Nightingale, and I've heard that success is when preparation meets opportunity. And that's so neat that people now, I'm thinking, like, oh my gosh, it's so funny that luck and success were interchangeable there.
Well, it really is success, but you know, he says that people say, you know, will say, oh, these people are lucky, and it's not really luck, it's really success, because, you know, it's what happens when preparedness meets opportunity.
Right, and I just love that you said, this is so interesting, making adjustments. So you have a plan, get your plan, have a plan, know that you're heading there, so when those surprises, I love that you make that differentiating point. You're not reacting, you're adjusting. And in your chapter, you had to make two plans. What do we do in our case? I'm going to let you share about the story, but when somebody else has a different plan for us and we're kind of stuck in it, could share a little bit about your career here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was, you know, in the tech space for 31 years, and I love my career there. It was awesome. I've made this departure because I want to work with more people than just the tech industry. I want to take the coaching and training and the things that God's put in my heart to use it in some new ways and creative ways. And that's really something I've been thinking about for really over 10 years. But over the last 2 years, I was really seriously preparing for that. And so I already knew I was planning to leave, you know, and go out on my own. When I ran into this obstacle, which was, you know, a particular leader coming into the company and kind of messing up things that we had done or you know, really just kind of taking them in a different place. I'm really wanting some of the past people to move on, me being included in that. but if you think about it, I was already planning on moving on. That was already part of my plan before he even showed up. And so, and what I knew about myself is I already knew I needed to decrease and I needed to let the people I was leaving behind me increase. I was already working on that, but I loved my program and I loved my team and I loved what we did. And so it was hard because I didn't really want to do that. But so I was able to see not this so much as an obstacle, but as a catalyst for me moving faster, right? Because I would have had a hard time letting go, except that I almost didn't have that choice, you know? And so what I did is I shifted from trying to drive the work to really focusing on what I need to focus on anyway, which was really supporting the team. We had a lot of new people that were coming on board at the time too, plus my older team, and really focus on putting them in the place they needed to be for the last year instead of actually driving the program itself. And so I was able just to see this leader as a catalyst, making it that much more easy for me to go do that instead of staying stuck in my own ego and the fact that I liked what I was doing. And so I was able to decrease faster and increase them faster as a result. So there
I
you go.
I want to use the speed thing again there because, yes, you're what's happening didn't change. And I want to reach out. I should have set this up a little better for you. I apologize. And this is why I love – I'm still in your story right now, and I've got to make sure I keep up my listeners. I can't even imagine, you know, 30 years at a job that you actually do love, that you, you know, the pay is good. There's nothing wrong with it, but something was calling you in a different direction. And first of all, I think a lot of listeners might be there. You know, they're in something. They're living their plan. They're like, wait, no, but there's something, that obstacle that's coming up is that I feel like there's something more. And then I find so interesting, somebody comes in and goes, well, let me help you with that plan. We'll get you out a little faster. But your ego does step in and goes, but wait a second, I wanted to leave because I want to leave, not because you're pushing me out. Now, how did you does one push ego down to say, no, it's my plan anyway. I don't need to be right. I need to be happy.
Well, you know, I was actually trying to shift to the second act, and where I was going to, you know, be able to work with more people than just the group and the company I worked for before, working on technology, and really work more with people, which is what I really love. I think, you know, for me, it wasn't so much that I was being pushed out. I mean, that was happening, but I had to make some decisions that were pretty difficult. I had to, you know, hop out of, you know, management. I actually had to theoretically take a pay cut, or not a pay cut, but go back to being an individual contributor, and that you know, changed my level. But it didn't really matter because I wasn't planning on staying anyway. So a lot of people could have gotten held up in ego there. They could have said, well,
yes,
no, I don't want to look like I got demoted, or, you know, I don't want to look like I, you know, was kicked out of management and went back to an individual contributor. I didn't care about those things because they weren't going to be relevant. And so, you know, but, you know, nobody wants to have that feeling happened to them too, right? So you kind of have to sometimes say, hey, what am I really trying to accomplish? Well, what I was really trying to accomplish was get free. And I didn't want to do anything, you know, I could have theoretically gone to another position at the company and had that not happen, but I didn't want to go to some other group and promise I was going to be there when I knew that, you know, in 8 months or so, I was going to be leaving. So I took different choices because for me, the character of not going to somebody else and saying, hey, give me a role so I can stay at this place, when in reality, my future was somewhere else. So, you know, I think that kind of stuff is difficult for people mentally, but it wasn't really a problem except in my mind. So I just said, great, I can manage that.
I love that. I think that was a really supportive question that you were asking yourself, that people can really be assisted right now. If you were to stop and say, you know what, you're looking at all the, you've got your obstacle, you have your plan and you can see the obstacles, but we can get distracted unless we ask that question. I love that. What am I trying to accomplish? I think that's a very helpful, very like that foundational question really helped you to create the plan. What am I trying to accomplish? Okay, so let's do those steps.
Right, exactly. And so, I think that when, again, that's kind of getting down to, I knew what I was trying to accomplish, that made it easier. But the other thing that really helped me, one of my biggest learnings as I went through that, was that who I was and my ability to succeed wasn't based on the achievements or based on the particular, oh, I was a marketing director or any of those things. I had done all of that work. It was based on the kind of person I was and the kind of person I'm going to continue to be. And so, therefore, I was able to say, hey, my confidence is not caught up in this 31 years here. Yes, that helped me develop to all of the things that I've developed in that 31 years. But my confidence is in what God's doing in my life and in myself, not in this particular career. And that really shifted some things for me personally that I think are very powerful. Because that can't be taken away from you.
Yes, it can't be taken away. You're right. I love it. That's the second awesome thing, like a question to ask yourself. So first one is, what am I trying to accomplish? Second is, who is the person I am and who do I want to continue to be? And that was a big question for you and helpful to you as you actually transitioned. And another big thing, transform into something new. Can you share that about your relationship and how that question helped you? Who is the person I want to continue being and be with your relationship, with your marriage?
Oh, yeah, with my marriage. Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things is we spent the last year and a half before, leaving, kind of planning this stage is, I worked in corporate America. And so that's a very different kind of thing than, working on your own. But I also really wanted to work with my wife. I've didn't want to continue to, I go away and I spend all this time away from her. And so instead of just saying, well, what do I need to go do to go do this new business? We spent a lot of time really partnering together to say, well, what do we want to do and how do we want to work and how do we want our day-to-day working world to be in this new space? And we're still doing that because it takes time to, sort of decompress from 31 years of corporate life. but that was a key thing as we took that journey to say, well, hey, I can't make all these decisions on my own and just be sort of self-centered here because there's somebody else here. And I want to make sure that what we're going to do and focus on is going to work for both of us.
That actually becomes more, you're back to the team. I think it's one of your core values is whether it's a partner, like a wife or a working partner or a team, you're really considering yourself as an individual. Who am I? Who do I want to be? What am I trying to accomplish in that way? And then how am I as, part of a collective, whether that's an interrelation, marriage or work. And then that increase in the, or with God in your world, right? Like, who am I with God? It was the teamwork between us two. You really felt that, as I was reading into your lessons learned that, God was a part of your team. He was caring about where he needed to, turn it up or turn it down kind of thing, increase, decrease in your life so that you could achieve things.
Absolutely. And I think I love the fact that you put it that way, Lisa, because it is all of that, right? Again, just coming from a biblical perspective, when Jesus says the greatest command, when he's asked what the greatest command is, he says it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you catch that, there's really three players there, yourself, your neighbor, and God. Not just two, even though there's like two commands there, right? If you're really realizing that your connection with him is for the purpose of knowing who you are so that you can also then serve and connect with others, well, then that makes a huge difference. And when you think of that way, all the things we're doing in high performance training really get to that too. There's a mastery of things that are about yourself, but they then turn around with the impact of helping others, right? And that this is why influence is important and courage is important, because they're the things that really connect us with others. And the reality is we're interdependent. None of us are ever doing anything on our own. So the more we understand how to master that, the better off we are.
You know, there's one thing first of all, thanks. A great reminder for people like that. You're never doing it alone, but you had written that most people in your existing circle will not take the new journey with you. Sorry, I was reading my own writing there. And I think that's as we talk about, your neighbors will change, your team will change, and they have to because they're doing their job. They're working with you.
Interdependent.
Thank you. So that's really like most people in your existing circle will not take the new journey with you. And it's not sad. You look at that like that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're still in their life. They're doing their things, right? I mean, again, I was in corporate America. Now I'm going to work as more as an entrepreneur with a smaller team of people. I'm not going to work with the hundreds of people I worked with before.
Right.
I still have relationships with those people, but I also knew that I was going to have to develop brand new relationships. And so I was very mindful of that in working on that very intently, even as I was doing the things that are in the story, in working out, you know, setting my team up and leaving Dell well. I was also building a new team of people that I work with now. And that's sort of how I got to writing the book, by the way, because some of those people connected me with Heather and so, you know, because you're being intentional about developing that team, that developed opportunity from working with those teams of people that I was, you know, simultaneously developing for my new journey. So I think you have to, that's another place where, you know, again, if you know what you're doing and you know you need to work with other people because none of us ever do anything alone and succeed alone, well, then you can be mindful about starting to build that team even before you get there.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Being mindful of that. That is so cool. Actually, you're right, because you got the thing. Something else you wrote, I love, oh my gosh, I love this line. Don't bring your current environment and my environment limitations into your future best experience. Whoa! That is so helpful for people. I want people to really hear that one, if you can expand on it. But yeah, don't bring your current environment's limitation into your future best experience. Fantastic.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was talking about before. Like in corporate America, you know, it's a big company, and for a lot of reasons, there's division of labor, and there's, you know, one of the things that we were really conscious about was just the way calendaring worked, because there were so many people that people would just put a meeting on, and then it would move, and an exec would put a meeting, and so you're just constantly reworking your calendar. And so one of the things that I really wanted to do was not have that scenario anymore. I wanted to be able to give people real time and not have to call them and say, oh, I got to do this other thing, sorry, or, you know, not being present with them because I'm really worried about the thing I was doing before because there was no float time. And so, for instance, one of the things we've really spent a lot of time on is how do we do this and put a lot of energy into it and focus on it, but actually have wellness going on for ourselves, because you're not just burning out, you know, all your adrenals by pretending like you can work nonstop, you know, and constantly be time shifting, right? So that's an example of the kind of thing we were trying to really say, hey, how do we want to work in this new space? And now that we're, you know, instead of just recreating that over here and continuing to work that way.
That's right. That's, you know, that's actually a struggle for, yes, you don't want to just, two things there you mentioned, I love it. You know what, we can't just always be working. We do need some downtime, some off time. And yeah, reworking schedules, you have to be very flexible, and somebody's always going to win over something. Now, when your company's called Reach Me Global, what do people come to you for? What's your business?
Well, the name is really a longer term vision of the company. I mean, mostly what I'm doing at the moment is coaching people and working on some training, but it alludes to the me, and that stands for missional entrepreneurship. And so I really want to, it's kind of a play on words, but I really am trying to work with innovative entrepreneurs who really want to bring impact and not just gain success in money, but really want to impact the world for good, to really create restorative culture. And so that's really the goal that we have there, and that's the reason for the name. So
no, we want to invite people to check you out there, but they can, so first there's a couple things they can do. They can go to toddboyum.com. They can also go to Facebook,
yes,
or Instagram. And can, is the website all up for Reach Me Global?
It's there. It's actually, I'm about to merge the two. I'm in the process of bringing toddboyum.com over to that, so they'll sort of be one thing here in the near future. But yeah, it's easy to go to kind of toddboyum.com right now. That's up. They can connect with me there. And if they're interested, I love to sit down and just do some coaching with people just so they can see what the experience is like and give them some value. And then if there's someone who it would be good for us to work together, then we can just talk about how we want to do that. It's really that simple.
And you are the guy to do that, because I keep thinking of you as the plan guy now. So I'm really going to invite people specifically to reach out to you, because if they're looking for that, yes, you have a goal, but you're like, okay, I need help on what am I trying to accomplish? How am I going to get there? Who is the person I am right now that I love, and who do I want to be in there? I think that Todd would be a really lovely coach for anybody there. But first of all, start by picking up the book, right? Obstacles Equal Opportunity Volume 2, and you could read his chapter. I think that would be a great start, right?
Yeah, sure. That would be awesome. We would love that.
Yes. So I want to thank you so much for being here for us, just to give a little bit of insight on how we can turn obstacles and make them equaling opportunities. So thank you so much, Todd.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for you and all your listeners.
We'll talk to you soon, okay? Hey, hang on, everybody. We're going to go to commercials, and we'll be right back with our second author.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Obstacles Equal Opportunities.
Are you living without success in your life? Are there obstacles that you need to overcome to create that success? Challenging circumstances, feeling vulnerable, afraid to be authentic, lacking or even feeling like you've lost your personal power. Light on Living has just the interview series to help you ignite your confidence and your personal drive to overcome whatever challenges you face. Join us every Monday in July to learn how these entrepreneurs overcame damaging business experiences, financial ruin, and personal hardships as they show you how to move forward with poise, grace, and insight. So get your copy of Obstacles Equal Opportunities Volume 2, The Enlightened Journey, and join us as we go live with these empowered authors.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt Pure Love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of our interview series for Obstacles Equal Opportunities. This is the Enlightened Journey, and Heather Andrews compiled all these amazing co-authors together. This is volume two, and our second author, our second guest of the show is Kristen Dawson. And first of all, welcome, Kristen. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here.
You both have such a story about having a real plan and then having some things thrown into your world that you didn't even know existed or weren't there, but because you had a plan, you just kept forward and doing this. So I'm going to start just by reading your bio for everybody, your story, and then we'll jump right in, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so Kristen Dawson, everybody, is the founder and COE of everything at Kristen Dawson EQ. She is passionate about helping women reestablish their reputations with themselves. Big one, guys. Kristen loves to speak, coach, and write about how we can live full of life and integrity. Personally, she has released, ready for this, guys, over 120 pounds. And she has learned that confidence has very little to do with what is on the outside and everything to do with what's on the inside. Kristen has created her own method of developing confidence called The Confident Way, 7 Steps to Unshakable Core Confidence. I love it. I feel like I wanted a commercial for it. this method is based on how she went from hopeless and helpless to filled with love and joy. Professionally, she has left, she has gone from casual employee to sought after corporate trainer, traveling and speaking with more than 1,000 people on everything from basic operations to human rights and leadership. That's our theme, guys, leadership between Todd's and Kristen's here. Recently, Kristen left her corporate job after 27 years with the same company to focus exclusively on serving those who need to hear her unique message. Kristen, that is incredible and awesome, and I can't believe how that paired up with you and Todd so closely.
Well, exactly, right? 31 years at Dell, and I was 27 years at Canada Post.
Yeah, see, that, and we didn't plan that, everybody. That was just, honest to God, just happened to be. I love it. Now, that's a big number, 120 pounds lost, and it wasn't easy.
No. Sorry, go ahead, Lisa.
I was going to say, with that journey, I mean, it started, I'm going to let you jump in and just start by the story, but you can even say what you're feeling about that now. Like, here you are, you're standing here now, and you're down in weight.
Hmm. Well, and, you know, and so just as you say, it's not easy, but I also think from the perspective I have now, we make it so much harder than it has to be.
Yeah.
Right. It's not easy, but what I found, I was thinking about this, is that when we are happy with ourselves, when we love ourselves, when we take care of ourselves, when we work on the inside part, the outside part works itself out.
Hmm.
And so, because I actually lost 150 pounds.
Oh.
I had a gastric bypass because I was 320 pounds at my highest, and I had just had a baby, but before that, I was a letter carrier. I was delivering mail. I was walking like 20 kilometers a day, and I still was, I call it my walking weight, 280 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And I was fit, and I was fat. And exercise wasn't helping me. Eat less and move more, Kristen. It didn't work for me. And so I had this gastric bypass, and so I lost 150 pounds. But then, because I wasn't working on the inside as well, I found 60 of them, right? In your Facebook post, you talked about the lost and found game.
Yes.
I lost 150 and I found 60 of them.
Yes.
And because the inside wasn't supporting the outside. And so now that I support the inside, I've released, right now I use the word released, I've released over 30 pounds in the last 3 years without trying.
I love that word switch, by the way. That is huge. A lot of, you know, you need to lose this, or I've lost this, or I'm trying to lose. It's such a language shift from I'm releasing, I've released. There's relief to that word.
Mm-hmm. And because when we lose something, we want to find it.
Yeah.
Right. But, and that weight that I had was serving a purpose. It was me and my body and my mind and my thoughts and all of that working to protect me. But the releasing is, thank you so much for all the work you've done, but now I've got it. Mm. Now I can take care of myself. Right? Mm. I started those behaviors and those habits when I was 3 years old. So it was so functional, and it helped me, and it literally saved me. But now I've got it. And now I can let it go.
It feels so empowering. I wrote down one of the lines that you wrote. Oh, gosh, it was really an intense line. It said that the weight you were carrying was like a thick coat of confidence, but it was actually a cover of weak, wounded, and starving for love. Those were like, that was a heavy line when I read it. I was like, oh, my gosh, because you were perceived as confident even at whatever weight.
I was. It was. And when you read that, I'm like, wow, I wrote that? Like, oh! But it's exactly that, is that I put on confidence like a coat. Mm-hmm. And so I'm struggling with words because it's like adipose tissue, the fat, we have all of these words. But it was just because I was trying to stay safe. I was trying to stay emotionally safe.
Yeah.
And so you can put confidence on top of that. You can have, and here's the other thing, you can have confidence, true inner core confidence at any size.
Yes.
But it comes from the inside out, not the outside in.
You and that's such an important distinction. Like your coat, I just wrote down confidence is not a coat. You know, it is, but it's not the good one, right? I love in your chapter, there's a, oh gosh, it was, you know, there's like these little tiny sentences that you put in, and I go, bah, right? And you know, so everybody's got to read your chapter, but you tell a story of when you were young and there was this really something that, you know, you went through an experience, and you wrote after, I said, nobody asked me, are you okay? And nobody asked me, is there anything wrong?
Mm.
That was huge. So why don't we ask, no matter what the obstacle is, because it's a bit of obstacle, you know, equaling opportunities, why are we not asking other people when we can clearly see that there's something going on, but we don't ask them, are you okay?
Right. Well, and, you know, I also have experience with depression and suicidal thoughts and those things. And when we see someone who is hurting, we sometimes, some of us think that if we bring it up, we're going to hurt them more.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, they're in pain. I don't want to talk about it because that'll make the pain more intense.
Right.
Or I don't want to trigger them. Or, right. And so I think it's out of a good heart, but sometimes we don't bring it up.
Mm.
But you're right. Like, I knew I was fat. I knew I didn't fit in society. And I knew I was so sad and lonely and crying and all of that. And yet, you're right. No one says, hey, what can we do? And the other thing is, they're just so afraid that we won't be able to help.
Yeah, we can. We don't want to reach out if we don't have the tool. If we don't have the rope to give somebody when they're stuck in a hole, then we don't even want to see it.
Right. And, you know, so many people just need someone just to listen, right? You know, we all, you know, the male-female thing where, you know, men want to fix and but we all just want to be heard.
Right.
And seen.
Mm-hmm. You know, oh my gosh, I'm imagining that person in the little bottom over there, and you don't have the rope, but they go, but just stay with me, talk to me. Just don't leave me alone.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, there's so many things. So you actually now speak, like it says right in your bio, 27 years at your place, you left because you're now out speaking and talking to people. What is it about losing weight, or is it about?
Well, confidence is a big part of it, in association with weight and in association with mental health, and so just kind of that is my main focus. Right, when you're in the speaking and the coaching field, you need to have a fairly narrow focus so that people can find you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once you get in with a coach, I mean, almost all coaches like Todd or me or we're going to take you where you need to go, or you're going to lead us where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And most of us will be fine wherever we go. But it's the idea that so many of us just think that we're not good enough. Mm-hmm. And like you wrote this as well in one of the Facebook things, like, if only I was the same size as I was in high school.
Yeah.
Or since I had kids, I can't lose that baby weight, or all of these different ideas. And we think that it's in the future that we'll be better. And so for me, I thought the same thing. If I lost all this weight, I would be better. And it didn't happen. I wasn't better.
So you lost all that weight and you weren't. I need people to hear that one for a second. That's a big one. That's a lot of weight to lose and not feel better.
Yes. Ugh. Now, physically, I felt better, right? Like, people say, how come you're running? I'm like, because I can. This is why I run, because I wouldn't run before. And now, but on the inside, I was still in so much pain. I still didn't know how to manage my emotions. I didn't know how to function with peace and joy. And so all that weight, I lost it. I thought I achieved what I wanted to, and it was empty. And we've heard these things, right? We've heard what happens, like Todd was, you know, when you get to the mountain, what happens after that? And so you have to really know what it is that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Because we think it's going to be in something else, but it's usually not. It's usually inside of us.
It's always right back there again. No, I love that you shared in your chapter, and I'm going to celebrate it, but that you made a commitment to self-care, and you thought, and you knew back then, I have to change something. I have to focus on me. I have to dedicate, and you did 2 hours a day of self-care so that you would know what that feels like. And you wrote, and I will quote you, now my body knew what it felt like to be cared for, and I pulled that back to that little girl who nobody asked if she was okay, and now she's being asked. Are you, and taking care of, like you said, oh, let's get you cleaned up. You know, that's what you wish somebody would have said to you. And you're doing mm-hmm. it. So this is my question. I love this in your little book. You said you self-care was your goal, and you had a little checklist. And you said, my checklist wasn't perfect, but I made the efforts to follow through. So you made this checklist achievable and it was a checklist for self-care. What would you say is the best thing to include for anybody just starting out self-care?
Well, when you start, I have a whole thing on this, because in my Confident Way program, self-care is number one, right? I really don't believe that when you don't feel good on the inside, I don't think you can start with anything but self-care. And it's because you have to teach yourself, just like you said, you have to teach yourself what it means to be cared for. And if we externalize it, we know about kids. And we know that taking care of a kid is not letting them do everything they want to do. It's mm-hmm. not letting them off the hook. Taking care of them is making sure they do their homework. Taking care of them is making sure that they don't put their hand on the stove, right? It's doing the hard things too. And so we have to do that with ourselves. So self-care starts with something very small that you know you absolutely can do, but you just don't. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, am I allowed to swear on this? Like, oh, I don't want to swear if I'm not allowed to.
You go ahead. Yeah, I hope that's a good warning.
Because then you just fucking do it.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
It's about passion.
Because you're like, every day you see it, and every day it wears you away, and every day you get more disappointed with yourself. And so for me, literally, it was flossing my teeth and taking my vitamins. And so I know I could do it. I just never did. And every time I would think about it, I would shame myself, like, you're so stupid, Kristen. And so instead of that, I put it on the checklist. Take my vitamins, floss my teeth. And if I did those, that was a win. I was building integrity with myself.
Oh, my God, I love that. Building integrity with myself. Oh, writing that down. Oh, my gosh, you guys. And you know what? I love that you went to flossing your teeth. Like, you knew you could do it, you just weren't, and you knew you used to shame yourself for it. So you want to start with that, let's remove that shaming, because that's the opposite of self-care, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. And so when we say, see, I kept my promise, see, check mark, yeah. See, check mark. And then, you do your best to do it. So let's say you start small. Maybe it's like drinking one extra glass of water a day. Like, it does not have to change the world. It really doesn't. But what it does is it changes you, because you're keeping your promise to yourself. And so let's say we can do the flossing the teeth, and let's say in the morning you usually do it, but you didn't. And then all day you didn't. And then you thought about it, but you never really did it. But if you get into bed and you realize that you have not flossed your teeth yet, you better get out of bed and you floss your teeth. Because you have to keep that promise to yourself.
That's the work.
Right? Before you go to sleep. That is the work. That is the that's the only work there ever is. That is the only work there ever is. And so you keep the promise. Now, let's say for some reason you didn't get out of bed and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
The next day, that's where the grace comes in.
Aww.
That's where you say, oh, my goodness, baby. Right? And I really have these conversations with myself. Oh, my goodness, Kristen, I know it's so hard sometimes, isn't it?
Aww.
And you tried your best. I know, honey, I know. So let's just do it right now so we get it done today.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
right?
Beautiful. Yes.
Like, you are the hard ass in the daytime to get it done. But if you have failed, that's when the gentle comes out.
No, oh, I think, is that what they call the grace period? No,
yeah. Well, I don't know. But I know for me, I never said to myself, it's okay. I know it's hard. I know you tried. I know it didn't work out the way you wanted it to, but it's okay. I had never told myself. And so once I started giving myself the grace that I had never gotten from anyone or myself, right? We learn these patterns way early. And so once I started giving it to myself, then I could say, okay, all right, I can let her go. And yeah, let's go floss our teeth right now.
Yeah.
Because beating ourselves up never gets us where we want to go. Never.
No.
If it did, we'd all be there.
And, you know, doing those small things, even like that about flossing teeth every day and building that up, I have to share this with you, is that I never realized that, like, I do a lot of self-loving talk. I did What Self-Love Got to Do With It, you know, last August.
Right.
And
right.
I tell you, I learned so much from that. I can tell the difference, because about a month ago, I slammed my finger the door by accident. Like, what happened was I didn't pull my finger out fast enough, and I could have and might have normally in the past, you know, in my pain state, might have gone, oh, my God, I could be so stupid. You didn't take your finger out in time. Like, oh, my gosh, what were you? Pay attention, or like that, right? But you know what?
Exactly.
The door slammed my finger. I held it. And I grabbed it and I went, oh my God, I'm so sorry, little finger. I did not mean to do it. I'm sorry. Are you okay? And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? And it dawned on me, I love myself. I did the work.
Yes. Right?
And
isn't that mind blowing?
It really was. It made me laugh. And even though it was throbbing, I was like, I'm laughing. I feel good. I was gentle with myself.
Yes.
And you say one more thing on this here. I have to get this in. And it's about that. It's like that was my power, right? Like my power came from self-love. And you wrote in your chapter that food lost its, you have a question. So it was a question. Did food lose its power over me, or did I start finding mine?
Right.
And that's what, oh my gosh, that's mind blowing too. It's not about something, because even when we say to the food, like say you stop eating a certain amount of food, the food didn't lose its power. You were finding yours.
Yes. And because I had given food, and particularly sugar and fat mixed together, yeah. I had given that food so much power, so much of my power was I had placed in there. And you know, I was in one of the groups I'm in, it's called Achievement Club, one of the questions was, what has been your defining moment? And my defining moment was when I had made a choice about food out of love, not out of guilt or shame. And so I, like, Lindor truffles, I don't know if you've ever had them. They're like,
I have.
Like, love in a wrapper right there. And so I was going to have some, and I was talking to myself, and I said, you know, sure, you can have those if you want, like, no big deal, because there's no judgment or shame, but it's, are you sure that's a good choice for your body right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's a really good question. You're right. I've had some sugar already today. A different choice would be better. And I was like, this was a defining moment where this is what it means to love myself. And this is why when you do the inner work, the outside takes care of itself.
That is so beautiful. That is a defining moment when choices you're making are coming from love.
Yes. Yes.
Is that what confidence, how would you define confidence?
Well, I mean, in different circumstances, it's a different, shows up differently. But I think at the core, it is the idea that no matter where I am, no matter what I'm faced with, I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right? Where if I'm faced with food and I feel like I want to eat it all, I'm going to be able to handle that. If I'm in an environment where I'm asked questions I don't know, or I'm afraid I'm going to be asked questions I don't know the answer to, I can handle that too. Right? Like, that's what confidence is to me.
I love that. It's a very empowering feeling. That's a very, like, yeah, I feel like right now, yeah, I'm going into all the situations. I feel confident. I would love for you to explain to people what the confident way is and who are the people that would do really well. I mean, maybe everybody is, but who would do really well with working with you if they're trying to lose this weight that they're struggling with? They're like, oh, come on, I don't even know why I have this weight on me.
Well, and you know what? When you ask who is the perfect person, that is it. The person who really just doesn't know why this is happening.
Oh.
Why can I not stop eating? Why can't I make myself do this? Why? I don't get it. That is the perfect person. And the confident way is the program I created after I looked back and I said, what actually did I do to get to this point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was seven things. Like I said, is self-care. The second part is the grace. Just after you work your heart off, you know, your hardest, you have to be nice to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third one is you have to tell yourself who you are. And so, they're called I am statements, and maybe you've heard of them. And it's just I am, whatever comes after I am, that's an I am statement. Often it's the negative things that come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to start telling ourselves that we're powerful and we're confident and we're strong and we're capable of hard things, right? Like we tell ourselves who we are. Then, oh my goodness, okay, I have to tell you, Lisa, step five is my favorite.
Aww.
Step five is my absolute favorite. And so step five is willing.
Yes.
Because if we're not willing, it's okay, right? Like you don't have to be willing to do everything. But it's the point of acknowledgement. It's like, I could lose more weight. I really could. I'm just not willing to weigh and measure my food with the diligence it takes.
Oh, my gosh. I get that.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. That's a good one.
And so I could do anything. I could do a whole bunch of things. But if I'm not willing, let's just acknowledge that and let it go and stop beating ourselves up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're not doing
it. I love that one. I can see why it's your favorite. Okay, put six.
Yeah, well, and oh my God. There's only two more, so I'm going to stop on five for a minute because there's the idea. I have this idea of the boardroom table.
Okay.
And I got this from my psychologist. And what she said is that it's like all of these different parts of you are sitting around this boardroom table. And the question is asked, or, you know, the statement is made, we're gonna lose weight.
Yeah.
Except if there's a part of you sitting around this table, right? Because all of the people around this table are just different parts of you.
Right.
And so I learned at three that food was my rescue. I learned at three that food could provide me that security and the safety that I needed. And so if that three-year-old sitting around the boardroom table says no, the answer is no.
Oh, has the unanimous vote.
Right? Mm. And then that three-year-old gets to be seen and that three-year-old gets to be heard. And then we can say, okay, fine, we don't have to do it. Then we can say also, what are we willing to do?
That is
right?
Good. Okay.
Oh, and then step five is my favorite.
Yes, I love that.
And then step six is what if, right? This is where it's kind of the continuum. And I love these steps because they really flow into each other, right? So what are we willing to do? And so step six is what if, like when we ask what if, well, what if it fails? What if it goes wrong? What if I can't handle it? What if I'm hungry? What if, you know, the stress is just too much? We often go to those worst case scenario, what if, but this is, well, what if I am able to handle it? What if it can work? What if I just do it the best I can? And what if that's okay? And then because step seven is the story, we all tell ourselves stories. And so the what if leads to us challenging our stories. So the story I tell myself is that I never finish any of this, so why bother starting?
The belief. Okay.
Right. Or the story I tell myself is that no one likes me, so they'll just say no if I invite them out for coffee anyway.
And because I want to make sure I invite people to come see, because right now those steps are so intense, and I can see how you would work really well through those with people. And so I want to make the invitation for people to come to visit before we lose the time here. So where's the best way for them to reach you?
KristenDawson.com is my website. They have the opportunity. I want people to try this, right? Because we get so afraid that it's not going to work, and I don't want to commit to anything. So book an hour with me. Let's see where you're at. Let's see what you want to do. But also I have coming up is a group coaching program based on this confident way, and it's starting in August. So, and it is going to be Sunday nights, 1 hour, a group coaching session. And if there's the demand for it, I'll set up more than one, and we can have a different time as well.
But okay.
For now, that's where we're at.
Everybody, we're going to put links up this on Facebook. You can check it out, but it's KristenDawson.com. And thank you so much. Time always flies.
So good.
All right, guys, Obstacles Equal Opportunities, Volume 2. Pick it up, read everybody's chapter, and then reach out to the ones that you know and feel will help you. Okay, thank you so much. Bye, Kristen.
Bye.